Hello everyone, my name is Brother Akuo, and today I want to bring kind of a longer study, and it's titled, Struggles with the Flesh versus a Dark Candle. So this is an important topic, an important contrast to make. Whether you're born of the Spirit of God and just struggling in the flesh, which every Christian does, they have their own struggles in the flesh, they got to keep putting down, they got to keep avoiding, whatever it might be. We're carrying around this tabernacle of flesh with us through our life. Or are you a dark candle? Do you have a dark part? Are you not fully light? Have you not let go of all of your sin? And that's why Satan has a foothold in your life, and that's why the Holy Spirit can't operate or has not been given to you in your life, because you're holding on to a sin, you're holding on to darkness. So we're going to be going over that today. So I'm going to start in Luke 11:36. If thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. So I was pondering this topic while at work today, and it's important to make the distinction between someone who is full of light, yet struggling with their flesh, and someone who still has a part dark in their heart. I'll start with this. We cannot serve two masters. We have to choose either light or darkness. We can't have both. This is made abundantly clear throughout Scripture. Joshua 24:15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. 1 Corinthians 10:21-22. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? So we're all born into Satan's kingdom, and our sin alienates us from the Father, yet makes us esteemed in the world of Satan's design. Whether it be pride that puffs us up, or entertainment to please our flesh, the addictive habits that are normalized by the culture, or the plethora of other departures from the truth Satan has woven into society, man blindly follows the rudiments of the world, and all Christians have a past in this state of bending our will to the flesh as children of wrath. Ephesians 2:3. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. What God requires from us is very simple, yet very hard to do. Repent. This is actually the first command of John the Baptist, and the first command of Jesus when they began their ministries. Matthew 3:1-2. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Mark 1:9-15. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee, and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened, and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven, saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. Now after that John was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. But what is repentance and why is it important? Well, repentance is certainly not a one-time act like many purport it to be, but an act that is done as many times as necessary to purge out the dark parts. The Lord talks about in Luke 11:36, "If thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light." And this can be done by looking into the mirror of Scripture, James 1:23-24. "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." When reading Scripture, a meek man will see the command of repent and naturally ask, "Of what must I repent of and repent to?" To which the rest of the Gospels and New Testament clearly define as the man keeps seeking the Lord in his word. And as he reads through the Gospels, he'll come across verses like this, Matthew 10:34-39. "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." So this meek man, in the illustration, really loves his mother. Seeing that he loves his mother more than the Lord at that current moment, what must the man do? He must repent of loving his mother more than the Lord, and cleanse his heart of that sin, losing his life to serve the living God with all his heart. Matthew 22:37-38. "Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment." That's what repentance is. And as the man goes on, now loving his mother less than the Lord, he'll run into more verses, Matthew 6:7-8. "But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him." Now this man in the illustration used to pray using vain repetitions, but after reading the command, he repents and stops praying as the heathen do. It's really that simple. And repentance of all willful and known sin is obedience to the command, repent. And we know the Holy Spirit is then given to those who obey God, Acts 5:32. "And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him." If the man chooses not to obey the command, and continues to love his mother more than God, and continues to pray as the heathen do, he's living in willful sin, as he has knowledge of the truth. Thus he's outside of the truth. Thus he has no cleansing of sin, as he's willfully doing it now. Hebrews 10:26-27. "For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries." The Lord Omnipotent will not give his Holy Spirit to a man that does not obey the light that's given him. That would be wasted pearls. Matthew 7:6. "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you." That's the darkness, described in Luke 11:36. "If thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. Willful sin, knowledge of sin, knowledge of darkness, and holding on to it, not giving it up for the love of the Lord and his light, John 3:19-21. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Notice how it says, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. We read before, you can't serve two masters. You'll either love one, hate the other, hold to the one, despise the other. God can see the heart, and if a man loves him, he'll obey that which is brought to his attention, no matter how hard it is. John 14:15. If ye love me, keep my commandments. The only way any man can do this is by the Holy Spirit. And there's a multiplicity of commandments to obey and much light to walk in. John 15:5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. And that Holy Spirit is given to a man by the Lord when the Lord sees a repentant heart, striving to obey and repent. Acts 5:32. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Once a man has received the Holy Spirit of God, which is given by the Lord, the fruit is Romans 8:29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Being conformed to Christ's image, meek under his word, learning of him, and continuing to repent of any sin brought to attention. As time goes on, and a man is sanctified and set apart from the world, John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. Staying separate yet still in the world, the man can walk confidently in the light of God's word, knowing the Lord will give him the strength to overcome the world. John 16:33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Yet every man and woman of God will still be hauling around an enemy of God they must ward off consistently, the flesh. While the man walks in the light of God's word, cleaning up his life of all willful sin, being led by the Holy Spirit of God, there will always be a pull by his flesh to indulge in his old life, his old ways, for his own uses. The scripture says, Romans 8:7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. One of the greatest enemies of Christians is themselves. And Satan knows how to tempt the flesh, creating a world that entices, sending people that allure, creating situations that pressure. Yet we read in the scriptures, 2 Peter 2:9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. This is an important distinction. The man, born again by the Spirit of God, is walking in the light, having no willful sin in his life, being led by the Spirit of God and totally open about everything in his life because it's all in the light. Now he must strive to enter into the kingdom of God by the Holy Spirit of God, which has overcome the world. Luke 13:24. Strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Contrast that with a man that holds on to one of his sins that was exposed by the Lord. not given the Holy Spirit by the Lord because of disobedience, sweeping it under the rug, hoping nobody sees it, and continuing on as if he was a child of God. The man will not make it into the kingdom of heaven, and in fact will face much attack from the enemy, his flesh, and the world due to his love of sin. His walk will be impossible. Yet if he were to give it up, as the Lord said after loving the rich man and telling him one thing he lacks, Luke 18:27, and he said, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." So test yourself. Are you simply combating the flesh as you strive on in the light, having no willful sin or part dark in your life? Or are you holding on to something that prevents the light, giving a foothold to Satan rather than loving the Lord, relinquishing it, and receiving His Holy Spirit? You won't be able to run the race without the Spirit. Make sure you're a vessel meet for the Master's use. 2 Timothy 2:21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the Master's use, and prepared unto every good work. That was the study on struggles with the flesh versus a dark candle. It's very important to make that distinction, because Christians born again by the Spirit of God will always have that flesh they're dragging along with them. You got to fight the flesh, crucify the flesh, put it down. Yes, you'll stumble into sin every once in a while. You'll give the flesh too much provision, whatever it might be. It might sneak back in. It's a constant battle. It's that striving to make it in. But no Christian born of the Spirit of God lives in willful sin. You can read about that in 1 John. If you're born by the Spirit of God, you no longer commit continuous willful sin. That's a big difference between someone who is born of the Spirit of God fighting against his flesh, or someone who has a part dark. And that's why it's so important to test yourself. Do you have a part dark? I should have done this early on, because I did have a part dark. I had a lot of religious pride early on. I thought I knew who Christ was, and I just had to obey a few things and get my life a little bit straightened out, and then I'm all good to go. No, I had religious pride. I had a lot of pride built up, and I needed to break that whole thing down. I needed to be broken upon the rock. Fall on the rock, you'll be broken. Before that rock falls on you and grinds you to powder, that's what I had to do. I had a part dark, and let me tell you from experience, if you walk with a part dark, things are going to be blurry, things are going to be unclear, because the scriptures are spiritually discerned. The Lord will only give you light, truth, understanding if you're walking in the light. If you still love a part dark, if you still love darkness, why would the Lord give you more light? It just makes sense. You have to dump out your whole vessel before the Lord gives you light, before he gave me his Holy Spirit, I had to dump that part out. So I encourage you, test yourself. Are you fighting the flesh every single day and it feels like the flesh is almost like overcoming you? It's like nothing's clear. Maybe you can't put things together correctly, and maybe you're having a hard time walking in the Spirit all the time. I would really test yourself. Make sure that you have that Spirit that overcomes the world inside of you, that you're abiding in Christ, he's abiding in you, you're walking in the light, there's nothing you've shoved under the rug, there's nothing you're hiding from the Lord and brothers and sisters, other people, that you bring everything into the light and say, "You know what, Lord, everything is yours. I was a grievous sinner against you, and I pray that you forgive me of my sin, and I want to walk in all light, and I want to be submitted to brothers and sisters, submitted to your word, and I want to clean up my life and walk in the light." Very few people are willing to do that. There's always one hill that people usually die on. It's that part dark that they love too much. "I can't give up," like the man in the illustration I had. "I can't give up my mother, Lord. I can't do it. I love her too much. She's getting old. I have to spend all my time with her. And I have to just pour my life into her rather than serving the kingdom the best way I can, having my heart in heaven rather than on the earth? Or, Lord, I want to pray how I want to pray. I want to pray using vain repetitions. And Lord, I know you'll accept it because, look, I'm spending time praying, Lord. So just kind of accept that worship. That is wickedness. That is a part dark. The Lord specifically commands that you love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and that you pray not using vain repetitions. So that is that willful sin. That's the part dark. Make sure you purge all that out. Wanted to encourage you in that today. Hopefully you dig deep and lay your foundation on the rock. Make sure you dig off all that soil and dirt and mud and get to that bedrock foundation of Jesus Christ and start building on there. Fall on the rock, be broken, let the Lord piece you together and build you up where he needs you to be on the rock. Make sure there's no part dark, especially pride. Pride is a big one. Make sure you're humble, submitted, meek to God's word, the simplicity in Christ, repenting, coming out of the world. Make sure you've lost your life in Satan's kingdom. Make sure you're not loving anything like family, friends, career, anything more than the Lord. He'll give you his Holy Spirit, and you'll see the fruit in your life, walking in holiness and obedience, being separate from the world, hated by the world, just as Jesus was, conformed to the image of his Son, Romans 8:29. That's my encouragement to you. I'm a faithful witness. The Lord will do that, but you have to get every part dark out. And I hope this encouraged you today. May God be praised.